That's nice to be right on cue with a word like that. And Eileen's word, she's wearing well, isn't she? Someone might have to pick her up. I don't often pay Eileen compliments in a pastoral kind of way, you know. Yeah. Well spotted. It's a tale of two mics. That wasn't a joke. For those of you who haven't picked up one of these little Kingdom Culture leaflets, there's some at the back, which kind of are a bit of a route map as to where we think we're going. And we're in a very interesting and exciting a chapter of church life, because a lot of what God's saying to us is kind of unfolding week by week, which means that it makes planning interesting. And I'm doing a lot of talking. And what we're trying to learn to do as a leadership is to flow more with the Holy Spirit and what he's doing and saying. And over within this first culture of family, we've been looking a little bit more really at the Father heart of God. So it's great to have words and pictures like the one Eileen's just had of the oak tree and the security that we get through knowing that God is always there, no matter what is going on in our lives. But, you know, one of the hardest things for us as Christians and human beings is to really understand that we are his children. The Bible calls it sonship, but actually it really means sons and daughters. Within the culture, the son, particularly the oldest son, was very, very important within Jewish culture, but we're all like the eldest sons. Not the eldest son in the story of the prodigal in that sense, although we might be, but we're all sons, which means we all have an inheritance. And we're just moving into the phase in this kind of culture or this value of thinking about ourselves as sons and daughters. And of course, the moment we start to get into that kind of territory, immediately we begin to think about our own sort of natural families and our parentage and whether that's been good, bad or indifferent. Anita and I were sat in bed this morning praying about a few things and beginning to think about our own children. And as parents, you tend to focus on what you consider to be your failings rather than your successes. I think it's probably human nature, isn't it? And of course, God is a redeeming God, and he does make up for our failings, more than makes up for our failings. But of course, he's the perfect father. And I've been thinking about being sons and daughters and thinking that in church, if we want to be family, there's not a chance really of us really experiencing the depth of being family if individually we're not journeying towards a deepening sense of knowing God's my father, God's my daddy, and I'm his son or his daughter. Because when we're sons and daughters, we just love being in the presence of a good father or a good mother, don't we? And that's true spiritually. So that means our worship takes on a new dimension, because when you know the one you're worshipping is absolutely for you. And we think a lot about it in the Christian life, about sacrifice and laying down our lives. But I heard a little bit of a talk by Mike Pilavachi during the week when he was talking at Soul Survivor. And he was talking to young people about the divine exchange. It's all of us for all of him. But now, all of us sounds like a big cost, doesn't it? But look what we get in exchange. All of him. There's not an exchange that's better than that. So this morning we're going to look at sons and daughters of a good father. And Anita's just going to read some scriptures to us.
You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according. according to the promise. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he's no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he's subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, that spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir.
In case you haven't spotted it at the bottom, that's from Galatians chapter 3 and chapter 4. And in fact, actually, for those of you who don't get online onto the church website during the week, there are some notes at the back from my talk this morning with some further references and some questions if you want to have a look at those. Remember that the emphasis on our teaching is actually on learning, us taking responsibility to grapple with the things that we're talking about on Sunday mornings. Okay. It was great to have baptism last week, wasn't it? Oh, Hazel's at the back there. You enjoyed getting baptised last week? Very special, wasn't it, to have a mother and a daughter getting baptised and to hear something of their journey and their stories. And I'm sure the pleasure of God was really on that, approving of Hazel and Lisa as they went through baptism. So when we come to faith in Jesus, we become sons and daughters. That is ours. This is our status. This is who we are. This is our new identity as part of God's family. I've discovered in leadership, and I think we can find this in all walks of life, that actually inheritance and gifting can be dangerous without fully embracing our identity. Just think about the prodigal son that went away, that had his inheritance but went off and splashed it away. It can be a dangerous thing to receive that inheritance. We need to know our identity and status and experience it deep within us, written deep into our hearts. And part of my message this morning is about us making the choice to position ourselves as the sons and daughters that God says we are. So he says we are something, and it's not actually that relevant to us until we actually bring our lives, sometimes kicking and shouting and screaming, into position to receive the love that he has for us. So we have this identity as sons and daughters, and it's important to understand that this, our identity, is not in our role or title. I've discovered that one of the most destructive things that can happen is when you have gifted people whose identity is wrapped up in their gifting rather than in the fact that they're son or daughter of God. And I can tell you, I've really struggled with this over the years in leadership because people, all sorts of people have expectations of us, don't they? You know, and sometimes when you're living under expectation, and this is particularly true if you've lived under a father or mother who've had really high expectations of you, and you've not been free to be the person that that God's created you to be. And then if you happen to have quite a lot of strong giftings in that, it can be so destructive or even controlling when our identity is wrapped up totally in our gifting. And as Christians, that can get really uncomfortable because God has the habit one day of coming along and just taking that away, sometimes temporarily, sometimes permanently. And suddenly we find ourselves floundering because our identity is so wrapped up in what we do. We find this typically in conversations, don't we, that we have with people when we're meeting people for the first time. One of the first questions usually is, what do you do? It's quite a challenging thing, isn't it, to say, who are you? This is who I am. And to think about answering the question a bit more in terms of our identity in Christ, who we are. And that's a massive thing to work through. So I kind of live, I guess, if I'm totally honest with you, in a continual struggle over that. Because we sometimes become inadvertently what people want us to be, don't we? Do you? just think about that. Are you really free to be the person that God's made you to be, or are you just kind of performing in some way? And I keep saying to myself, and one of the really great things about the course we've been doing together as a leadership team this year is we really want to embrace being family and being the people that God's made us to be. I've even struggled with the idea of speaking regularly on a Sunday, because we don't do things like that here. We're a body, and we will get back to other people taking part, but really being secure in who I am in Christ, because I am a son before I'm a church leader. That's how God views me. He doesn't actually view me. He's given me this particular role. But every role that he gives, particularly in church life, is equal, actually. It's not about status. Our status is in our identity as sons and daughters of the living God. And so often we struggle with this. And I'm hoping and praying that the Holy Spirit will take us much deeper. I'm just going to pause and pray over us now, that these words will become life to our hearts, minds, souls, bodies and spirits, okay? So Father, from the person who struggles with this the most in this room today, to the person who is really secure in your wonderful love as a father, as an oak tree, Lord, I want to pray, Spirit of God, you would bring us fully into the inheritance that is ours, that we will know first and foremost that we're sons and daughters of a living God, but more than that, of Daddy Father, who so loves us every single day of our lives when we wake up in the morning. You love spending time with us. So Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. May this be a secure place to begin to know deeper and deeper healing and restoration in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians 3 tells us we are connected to an incredible legacy of promise. We are grafted in to the promises that were given to Abraham many thousands of years ago. He made promises. You know, I'm not going to go into those this morning, but God made promises to Abraham that Abraham then tried to work out in his own strength. But God made promises to him that are ours, our heritage and legacy. I know you hear all this talk in this year through the Olympics about leaving legacy. We of all people have such an incredible legacy to tap into. That's why actually getting to grips with reading the Bible and understanding what is ours so we can build our lives in a holistic sense is crucially important, to know who we are. We are plugged in to this heresy, which is made alive for us because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in the beginning of Galatians chapter 4, I kind of, in certain parts of the Bible, you really have to focus hard on and concentrate and say, what is the writer really saying here? What is Paul really saying here? And he's talking about being children, being just like slaves, and not gaining the inheritance. And I've written down on my bit of paper here that the heart of God is this for us. He wants us to be childlike in our relationship with him, but not childish. There's a subtle difference somewhere, isn't there? It's easy to be childish. Now, if you don't have identity, it's more likely that you'll grow up being quite childish. And that's not the heart of God. He wants us to come to maturity as children of God, but he wants us to be childlike in our faith and receiving everything he has for us. The redemption enabled by Jesus' birth, death and resurrection releases to us full rights as sons. We have this inheritance, and God wants to clear away the clutter and doesn't want us to remain stuck in immaturity. And sometimes we actually need other Christians around us to understand how mature or immature we're actually being. But certainly the heart of God is this: he does not want us to remain as slaves. Do you remember the prodigal son went away, came back, and he thought to himself, well, even the slaves have got a fairly decent life in my father's house. I'll go back and be like one of those. You know, one of the biggest tragedies as Christians, we can stay as slaves to God, driven. I've got to do this. I must do this. I must perform. And God says, no. It's about sonship. But sometimes our life experiences can actually mess this up for us. Um, So God is in the business of restoring us, taking us out of slavery and giving us a fresh identity. You know, often those verses at the end of Galatians where it talks about not being, they're not being male or female, slave and all the rest of it, is God's not ignoring the fact that he's made us men and women, he's put us in all sorts of different career paths. But first and foremost, we are sons and daughters. And that's what we've been hearing about. And that's what we need to go on hearing about from people. So if you've got a story this morning about your journey, I'm hoping that there's a little bit of space to hear from you this morning about how God is bringing you deeper and deeper into sonship or daughterhood. As an added help, it says in Galatians 4:2 that God has put the Spirit of Jesus in our hearts. I was kind of, you know, certain things you just contemplate and ponder. I was thinking, God is wonderful, isn't he? Actually, because he's not kind of left us alone to work this out. He's put us in a family, and we're trying to learn as a church as much as we can about offering care and support and healing so people can come into wholeness. We haven't got everything, but God is raising up a multiplex, if you like, of tools, such as Freedom in Christ, but others for other people to help us on our journey to wholeness. But more than that, he's working on the inside of us all the time. And it's really important that we hear words like, God has provided, but I must position myself. It's a choice, isn't it? God always gives us freedom of choice. And sometimes in church, we can forget that and we try to nudge or push people. But they have choice. We all have choice. But the heart of God is that we'll make the choice to draw close to him and get whole and receive more of his approval. But more than that, he's put the Spirit of Jesus in our hearts to help us. The devil focuses on trying to rob us of the truth of our sonship and our inheritance. Remember what it says at the end of Malachi, at the end of time, that God will work to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Do you know, he's going to do that through the church. We are the body of Christ. So it makes complete sense that we are moving forward on our journey to wholeness. Because just this last week, if you've watched the news, the brokenness of family, despite the mess of, you know, the tragedy of what's going on in Wales with trying to find this little girl, April. Everything is broken, but God is wanting to bring healing through people like us. Just look around. Yeah, us. And it comes from knowing who we are in Christ and knowing that security. So there's a few things just in me finishing off this morning. Just to summarise, we need to know that inheritance without identity is a dangerous thing. Inheritance without identity is dangerous. Sons and daughters of a good father know that if you don't live as a son and daughter, every father or mother will let you down. Have you got a parent that's let you down? Have you got a spiritual parent who's let you down? I would guarantee that every one of us in this room has got a parent who's let us down in some capacity or other, some way or other. But it's actually, they're just the, if you like, the victims of their own family life, and so it goes on. But we can make a change in our lives. We have the opportunity by getting secure as sons and daughters of God. Suddenly, if we're parents, we can become better parents because we know who we are in Christ. We can be better people to be around. And we won't feel let down if we know we're secure in God ourselves as a child. Sons and daughters of a good father come home to an extravagant dad. That's what the prodigal son did. He knew at the end of the day, as big as he'd messed up, he could always go back home. That father had somehow done a good job at communicating his love to the son, even in his absence. In bringing up, he knew it was a good place to go back. Our Father God is extravagant in his love and his approval of us. Sons and daughters of a good father position our hearts to live as sons and daughters first and foremost. That's our choice and our calling. Sons and daughters of a good father position ourselves to receive from other fathers and mothers. We've been thinking a bit about this. You know, we can be parented, if you like, not just directly. Maybe there's an author that you like to read a lot, a Christian author, who can have the effect, even though you don't know them, you're not in a relationship with them, they can have a parenting kind of role in your life. It's good to find these people and to find the blessing of being fathered and mothered. Sons and daughters of a good father don't want to become like the elder brother. We haven't really looked at him very much. We have in the past in this church. But the tragedy of that older son in the story of the prodigal, and the father coming back to him and said, "Don't you know that all I have is yours?" But he was busy working for it, wasn't he? "I've worked for you, I've done this, I've done that." And that does give us a problem in terms of grace. And he certainly had a problem in certain grace. We don't want to be like the elder brother in that story, do we? We want to know our inheritance in God. Sons and daughters of a good father know that we are sons and daughters before anything else. Before anything else. When we first begin to realise it, it can be a shock. That was a posed picture. I wasn't looking at anything I shouldn't have been looking at. I thought I'd lighten it up a bit. It can be really shocking to know and to experience this. It's a revolutionary thing that God does in our hearts to embrace us as sons and daughters. It's not good enough to know God as Father as some kind of theological truth. I mean, it's great that it is. You know, it is theology, isn't it? God is my Father. But actually, to actually position ourselves as sons and daughters, for God to lift off the shame and the rubbish and just to embrace us. And in the final few minutes, I just wonder if there's anyone else in the room here today, just for a few minutes, would like to tell us a little bit about your story. Because I find stories wonderful, don't you? Just hearing about your journey into sonship or daughtership. Hello, Joyce.
I like the way Laura said it takes courage and faith and to delve into the past and let God deal with it. I can echo that. It's taken a lot of courage. It's also been painful, but it's proving beneficial. And it's just so wonderful.
And well done, Joyce. Ours doesn't need to be a dramatic story, necessarily, but if there is anyone else that wants to tell us of your journey so far, that would be great. Just hit the pause button. Just wonder if there's any men here today who've understood in your journey what it is to be a son. Or how God's worked that into your life. Or maybe you just feel you've got a long way to go and you don't want to talk about it yet, that's fine too. My own father, while you're just thinking about this, I've said this story before, but it wasn't till probably about 6 or 7 weeks before my dad died that I was sat by his bed and he actually said, "I want to say sorry to you because I didn't encourage you as a son." And at that moment, my appreciation of him went through the roof because he had the courage to apologise to me for a massive thing. We felt he just had never encouraged, and that's brilliant, isn't it? But that did an enormous amount in me in terms of sonship, and actually opened up me to hear more of God's encouragement for me as a son as well. Well, no worries. Let's just be quiet for a moment and just meditate and just ask the Holy Spirit to come afresh to us and bring alive in our hearts and in our minds the truth of God's fatherhood. And just listen to Him saying, "Well done, my son and my daughter." It may be today that it's a day for forgiving your earthly father or mother or both. If you're someone here today who's felt wounded or hurt by your own parents, one of the big, big keys is forgiveness. And when we forgive, God forgives us. And so that forgiveness might be just something you express quietly in your heart. Direct that to God and know forgiveness by forgiving. You may want to talk to someone about it, and that's fine too. It's good if you can bring things out to the light. Anyone else here this morning has got a word of knowledge or a prophecy relating to some of this, that just encourage you to speak that out, because you could have the key for someone else's life.
Childhood. And he's not been a well man for many years, different ailments. He's not been well since his mid-40s, and one came up for another. And a little while ago, he's had a stroke. He's coherent, but he's left any problems. But he was in hospital because he fell and broke his hip. And on one of his visits, I went to see him, and he started to kind of think back and kind of sharing a little bit about his childhood, what he went through. I don't know everything, but I know it wasn't happy. But I was able to say to him that you turned things around. You didn't follow that path. You didn't follow that same path. And I don't know where he learned it from, but I was able to say to him, you're the best dad ever. And then he told me his story. When he was working, or when he was driving, he knew his route home, like the back of his hand, but he was driving down a country lane and suddenly had to pull over because he didn't know where he was. He couldn't remember his way home or anything. And then he realised that he was just not far from the cemetery where his dad was buried. And he drove down to the gates, and he spoke to the verger there, and they had a map, and they found the grave where my granddad was. I never knew my granddad. He died before I was born. And my dad was able to go to the grave and kind of make his peace and spoke to his dad that way. And then as soon as he left, he said, I just knew which way to go and which was the way home. And I was able to say to him, Dad, that was God. God led you there. Because my dad hasn't got a faith as such. He says he believes in his own way, but he hasn't got a relationship with God. But yeah, I was able to just say to him, Dad, God led you there, and you were able to make your peace at this stage of your life. And things don't have to follow the same path. And even if we don't know God, he speaks to us and he can lead us in different ways.
Thanks, Jenna. That's really helpful, actually. Reminds me about some spiritual inheritance, good or bad, that we get through our family lines, which may be an issue for some folks here, really. We don't have to repeat the patterns of previous generations, particularly as Christians. It's fantastic that your dad was able to do that. And that's an immense amount of strength, actually, to resist that tide of history. Mm. And the spiritual DNA we inherit, we have no part in how that's come down to us, but we can resist it and stop it. There's a particular generational thing in my family down the Magnus line that I can see repeating, and we've taken steps to make sure that that is not repeated with our own children. And so maybe other things in people's lives here that you just need to get dealt with. Mm. And we can cut those things off. Yeah. We are inherited in Christ, not automatically in our natural bloodlines.
Yeah, actually it's amazing to think that we can not only see lives, transformation of our own lives, but for our children and their children by us taking responsibility to face into this. That's amazing freedom, isn't it? The other thing I just wanted to say in finishing off, really, there are some other references I've put on the notes here. And for example, in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about God being a father who disciplines his sons. Now, if you read discipline, but you don't filter that through knowing that you're a son or a daughter, you see God as someone who's really harsh. It's really important that we see our lives change. So we put on a new pair of glasses or filters or lenses and interpret the whole of Scripture, knowing that we're secure as his son and his daughter, and that he's my father and he has good things for us. So his discipline is not one that's full of rebuke, it's one of actually helping us and providing a framework around us which is rooted in love, which is different, isn't it? So have a look at those, do a study at it, have a look at what is ours as sons and daughters. Good, and if oh, Di's on the way out.
Some time ago when Sue spoke about the prodigal son, there was a verse that in Luke 15, you know, some of those things we think, I've read this hundreds of times, I have never seen that verse, where the young son demands his inheritance. Now if you look, it says in scripture, so the father gave both his sons, he shared the inheritance, didn't just give it to the younger one, which is what I thought, so that he could go off and waste it. But he gave it to both the sons, but the older son never really realised what his father had given him. And he acted and behaved as if he'd been given nothing. And I thought, that is so much what we're like. We don't understand the enormity of what God's given us. And we act as if he's given us nothing. We act very often as if he's a judgmental God and he's punishing us, not a loving God who's wanting to create Jesus in us. But he gives all of his children, the older and the younger, gives us all, and it's what we do with it. And actually, the older son has as much to learn, as we know from the story, as the younger one.
That has to be the biggest tragedy ever, doesn't it? Not to live in the light of what is yours. Stuart?
Thanks, Steve. Isaac, have we got anything?